When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's hard to look up and out to opportunity when you're so stressed about your own situation. Yeah. I mean, that's like a wealth hack that no one talks about.
Come on.
Is that level of alignment with your spouse, with the person that God says you're supposed to do life with this person?
Yeah.
If you can't run fast, then why are you even doing this thing? It sold for $529, 3 years later.
Bought it for $3.
So the appreciation on that, that'll beat your freaking 401k.
We have a millionaire sitting at the table who did it the right way. You can't pass down a credit score. You can pass down wisdom, knowledge, human capital. You cannot pass down the 3-digit credit score.
I've chosen to live a life of debt freedom because I want margin and options and joy and all this kind of life.
Yeah.
If she doesn't want that, then that's a great red flag was shown up early on. Let's opt out and go, let's part ways, clean break.
Yo, welcome back to the table. It's your boy, Anthony O'Neill. Today, I'm super excited. I'm super excited because I would say going on, about three years and some change ago, I was a part of, I believe, the most pivotal organization I've ever been a part of in my life. And that was Ramsey Solutions. I had the opportunity to work with the guru himself, Dave Ramsey, and Sharon Ramsey, his amazing family there. But I think the best part, and this is no shade towards Dave Ramsey, but I think the best part of working there is I had the opportunity to work with some other amazing personalities to where we all came together and we shared our stories and we were helping Dave with his vision of the company. And while I was there, man, we had some amazing people there. And when I was there, there was this young guy. When I first met him, he was the host of the Ramsey Show. Started off actually in the business. Well, actually, we'll let him share that. We'll let him share his story. But he just recently came out with, I believe, one of the best books when it comes to this generation around money. And I say, yo, George Campbell, I gotta get you on the show because this is the thickest book I have ever read and seen in my entire life about money coming from a young person. I just knew Dave Ramsey wrote this book and just put his picture on it. But really, this man is shaking the airwaves, the internet. What I like about George is George is George Campbell. Like, George is tapping into what we need. And so while y'all know me as a money guy too, I say, you know what? Let me bring my brother on, who's also, I believe, a guru in this space. And again, it's no shade towards Dave Ramsey, but he is old. So let's bring someone in, y'all. Love you, Dave. I know you'll see this. y'all, before we get to George and this amazing guy coming from his new book, Breaking Free from Broke. And y'all, I'm gonna say this right now. This is the only person that I know. I've watched him work all 7 baby steps, literally. Start from baby step 1, going all the way to baby step 7. We have a millionaire sitting at the table who did it the right way. And we're going to talk about it all today. But before we get to George, y'all, listen, do me 2 quick things. Number 1, make sure y'all subscribe to the channel. We are almost at 800,000 subscribers. And we are trying to hit 1 million this year. We're going to do it. I believe in y'all. I just know it and love it. I mean, we're trying to get to about 1 million downloads a month on YouTube. We're almost, not on YouTube, on podcasts. And we're almost there. So do me a favor, quick thing. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that like button. Share this amazing show. And if you're listening to this on podcasts, hey, go ahead and subscribe to us on podcasts as well. And I promise you, you will be grateful. And I want to thank our friends and our sponsors for sponsoring this amazing conversation today. Our friends over at Chime, where you can open up a great checking account. But we'll give you some information on them here in a little bit. But let's get straight to the show. George Campbell.
Hey,
man, give him some love, man. Give him some love,
dude,
man. Welcome to the table, bro.
Yo, I'm so proud of you. It's like watching just my big brother just like crush it. And man, I've missed you. I've loved watching you from the sidelines, cheering you on. I wish we had some like secret beef we could dish out. But I got nothing but love for you, man. And I'm so proud of everything you've done.
No, man, listen, I came from a great foundation, right? You know, and I was talking a little bit about money before joining Ramsey, but literally I learned everything from Ramsey. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Dave, Sharon, Rachel, who's still there?
Ken Coleman.
Ken Coleman.
Can't forget about Kenny Boy.
Yeah, can't forget about Ken Coleman.
And Dr. John Deloney.
Oh, my guy, Dr. John Deloney, and Jade.
Jade Warshaw. Now join the crew.
She's
bringing some spice. We've got some nice flavors in there now.
Yes. Honestly, now when I look at the show, I can't say I have a favorite duo. Because every single one of you all have y'all's own spice that y'all bring.
In duo chemistries.
Absolutely.
We've realized.
Absolutely.
Which is fun.
Absolutely. Love Dave, but I do love seeing the personalities on there.
We appreciate that.
And it's solid. Because you and Jade, y'all be cracking me up. When I say y'all, Jade just be going after people. I was like, I like you, Jade.
I think I got some spice, and then Jade gets on there, and she's just letting it happen. I'm like, oh, God, I got to be good cop now.
Yes. Yes, you do. Rachel is still Rachel Cruz.
She's you know Rachel.
Rachel's just
off screen, on screen, nothing has changed.
Yes. Yeah,
nope,
yeah.
Her blood pressure didn't change.
Man, listen, and Ken Coleman going to help you get a job, help you get that stuff right. And John Deloney, boy, I'd just be like, Lord Jesus, you talking about sex? And
yeah.
And I'm like, Lord. Yo, fam, life doesn't wait for your payday, and neither should you. I want you to imagine getting your paycheck up to 2 days early with Chime You Can. I want you to open a checking account in just minutes at chime.com/TTAO and start experiencing the freedom of getting paid early. You see, with no overdraft fees, no minimum balances, and no monthly fees, plus over 50,000 fee-free ATMs at stores you love, like Walgreens, CVS, 7-Eleven, and Circle K, your money is always within reach. Your funds are 100% covered through the FDIC insured up to $250,000, and you'll enjoy a peace of mind with Chime's instant transaction alerts and robust security features, including two-factor and fingerprint authentication. Join me and millions of members who are already enjoying the benefits of Chime. I want you to open your account today at chime.com/TTAO. Again, that's chime.com/TTAO. Chime feels like progress. But yo, let's talk about you, George. How you been, man? The last time I saw you, you just got married.
That's right.
Yep. When I was leaving, you just got married. But now you have a baby?
I'm a father.
You are a father.
That's weird. I just had my first Father's Day recently, and man, it changes things. Like, I always thought, like, I know being a dad changes things,
yeah.
But it just changed my whole outlook on money, too.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this isn't about just me anymore, and what can my wife and I do?
Yeah.
Now there's this, like, this tiny legacy that I got to carry.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was a very interesting, sweet time. Real hard, of course.
Yeah.
Man, now we already had two French bulldogs. We got to wipe a lot of butts in our house. Goodness gracious.
Y'all remember when you got a French Bulldogs, man? I remember. Yep. It was right around the time I got Raven, I think.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Dog Dad.
Dog Dads, man. That's my girl. I love her.
It's a lot of life change. You've seen a lot. We've known each other, what, 10 years?
10 years.
When did you start at Ramsey?
I started at Ramsey 2016.
Almost 10 years now.
I was with Ramsey for 6.5. Yep, and it's been 3. Yeah, so I'm right at about 10.
Wow.
Wow. Best years of my life. Some of the best years of my life, man.
We've seen some things.
We have, man.
On the road together, sharing stories.
We have.
Sharing stages.
Now, that was the fun part. Now, Ramsey, man, we knew how to travel and eat. And I've never said this nowhere else, but I've never ate the way I've ate when I was at Ramsey Solutions.
I'm the heaviest I've been, if that tells you. Go to cafeteria now. But I will tell you, one of my favorite meals, you took me to a meet and three.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In North Nashville.
Yes, sir.
Before a flight, and that changed my life.
I'm telling you, man, that good old eating soul food. But I've never had that good rich food before going to Ramsey. I remember you weren't on the team then, but you were on the ramp. Were you? Yeah, you were on the personality team you was hosting.
Yeah.
But we was heading to the lake house, and we stopped by a restaurant. I had a steak, and I remember asking them for steak sauce.
Oh, yeah, like a nice steakhouse.
I was like, yeah, can I get some A1 sauce? And the chef was like, is there something wrong with the steak? And at that time, I remember Christy, Rachel, and Dave had to really educate me on, you know, some people can be offended if you ask them for A1 sauce. And I was like, yo, I'm black. I'm just used to the A1 steak.
Just let the man have some sauce. What's it to you? You don't got to eat it.
I know, but it was funny because I was like, I didn't know. But even now, though, I haven't asked for A1 steak sauce since then.
And that's on growth.
Yeah, it's all growth. It really is. But bro, let's get into it. One of the things I want to ask you this, because I already know the answer, but I think people want to know this, man. What is one of the biggest complaints you hear about the Ramsey teachings that you addressed in this book?
I did hit a lot of the objections. Yeah. That's the heart of the book is trying to go, listen, the Ramsey plan's been around for 30 plus years.
Facts.
And here's the objection. Well, it's out of touch. It's outdated. Dave doesn't understand the current, what's really going on out there. And why would you pay off the lowest balance first when you can hit the highest interest? And so we hit all of that. And at the heart of it is, they're saying, my plan mathematically is better than Ramsey's plan. I can do better. And I'm like, well, if you could do better, why aren't you doing better? Why are you calling our show about your problems when we don't have those problems? So it's like, just try it out. So that's the funniest part. This is just my plea to go, listen, I'm a normal guy, immigrant parents.
Right.
I was in debt. It worked for me, and I'm stupid as can be. It's going to work for you if you just do this stuff. Or we can argue all day long and have intellectual debates.
Facts.
And so I hope by the end of the book, you're convinced that this plan can work for you.
You know, one of my biggest complaints when I hear people say that about Dave, because they always ask, oh, you left Dave now because you didn't believe his plan? No, that's not why. And here's the thing that I tell people all the time. It's like, I hear people who are not even a net worth millionaire saying that this man's who is a multi net worth millionaire who built a $500 million business with no debt. How are you going to argue with his plan when you're worth $100,000 and he's worth quadruple that?
Lord only knows.
And one thing I loved about having you on the show is that today you are a net worth millionaire, you and your family. How old are you, George? Let me ask.
I'm 35.
You're 35 years old and you are a net worth millionaire. I want to rewind to the very beginning, because when I first met you, were you on Baby Step 2?
When you met me in 2016, I had gotten out of debt by then.
Okay.
But I was still, you know, just climbing.
When you first started working with Ramsey as an intern, what baby step were you on then?
I was on baby step one.
One.
I was just getting started. I barely knew who Dave was when I started at Ramsey.
Wow.
Because I came through one of the personalities, John Acuff at the time.
Yep.
So I was a fan of this like kind of Christian subculture comedy.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, he works for this guy named Dave. So if you want to work with John, you got to work for Dave. And I went, okay.
Fine.
So I went through Financial Peace University and I was like, oh crap, I got money problems. I got to get out of debt. And I was like, if I'm going to work here, I got to believe in this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I followed the plan, read Total Money Makeover, went through Financial Peace University. I was $40,000 in debt, 36 in student loans, $4,000 in credit card debt, had the Amex Sky Miles, had my Discover cash back.
Wow.
I was doing the rotating cash back. I was like, I'm going to win this game.
Yeah.
And there I was in crippling debt, broke. I wasn't even making $40,000 at the time.
Wow.
As an intern and part-time worker. And I was just going, let me see if this plan works. And so 18 months later of side hustling and Uber and Lyft, and you know, I'm resourceful. I'm not scared of getting those side hustles.
You are.
I got out of that debt and got my emergency fund, began investing at the Ramsey Roth 401k, met my wife Whitney there.
Wow.
We started our marriage debt-free.
Wow.
She was
debt-free too.
She was blessed in that way.
Yeah.
No college debt, no car debt, nothing.
So she started off. So she never had debt. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Correct? Grandma and parents, they helped, you know, fund college and get her the car. So she was, she was super blessed. And she's super smart. So
super smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she was broke too, but she knew how to manage her money.
Yes.
To where she didn't feel broke.
Yes, sir.
She was just like, this is the life you live at 22, 23 years old.
Yes, sir.
So we started off our marriage completely debt-free with money in the bank.
Yeah.
Then we aggressively started saving up a down payment, got a reasonable, modest townhome. You know, a little further out.
Yep.
And our goal was, we asked ourselves, what could we do if we had no payments in our early 30s?
So the question, you don't have to answer this if you want to. When you say reasonably, because I remember when you bought that townhome, how much was it?
This was a $300,000 townhome. It was a new build construction.
Because I want people to hear this.
Yeah.
You and your wife bought a $300,000 townhome. What was next from there? This is amazing.
Now, the bank approves you. You know this.
Absolutely.
Like, we'll give you $600,000. And you think, well, we can afford a $600,000 house. Nope.
Yeah.
So we really scraped to save up. I was doing side hustles all the way through the down payment.
You were.
We put down $145,000.
Yes, sir.
On a $300,000 home.
Yes, sir.
And we had a goal. I said, let's pay this thing off in 4 years.
Wow.
We can do it. And Whitney said, that sucks. Let's do it in 3. We did it in 26 months.
26 months.
Because we were so aligned, same value, same page, same intensity. And we went, let's knock this thing out. Life's too short to have payments.
Now, George, you know, man, you know, now since I'm over here on my own, I could talk about stuff like this. How did you know Whitney was the one? Like, when y'all sat down while y'all were dating, clearly she worked at Ramsey, you worked at Ramsey, but outside of Ramsey, what were those conversations that you all were having to make sure that you were aligned financially and even with the vision of y'all's relationship and marriage?
Oh, yeah.
From the finances, because that's huge in a relationship space to where we're scared to talk about money in depth in the very beginning.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what were some of those conversations? Because I'm pretty sure you two having those conversations in the beginning helped you all do that in 26 months.
Oh, absolutely. That's like a wealth hack that no one talks about.
Come on.
Is that level of alignment with your spouse, with the person that God says you're supposed to do life with this person?
Yeah.
If you can't run fast, then why are you even doing this thing?
Ooh.
And so I think it's too many couples, they get married, but there's still this selfishness of like, well, I want my way and she wants her way and we'll find some compromise. That's fine, but you're going to move a whole lot slower
yeah.
in your wealth building journey. And I know you're big on, I want to find someone
yeah.
who I can build wealth with,
yeah.
who has the same legacy we're running towards.
Yeah.
Because, you know, marriage is either growing further apart or growing together.
Yes, sir.
Only two directions it can go.
Yeah.
Or it's just stagnant and you get scum on the pond.
Right.
And that's not a good marriage either.
Right.
So the conversations we had, and truthfully, Ramsey was a blessing because we're already talking about all this stuff
Absolutely.
Every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew she was debt-free. I knew what her goals were. And even as we talked about, like, hey, would you want to buy what do you think about like a modest house? She's like, absolutely. I think that's the right move.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to find one that mm-hmm. is still beautiful, it's not like we're struggling. You know, people think it's either your life has to suck and you have to live a terrible quality life, or you have to live way beyond your means.
Right, right.
We were both resourceful enough to find the sweet spot.
How old were y'all then?
I mean, we got married in 2018.
Yep.
We got the townhome in 2019. And so I was 30 years old.
Yep, yep.
And she was 29.
You know, this generation of 30-year-olds, George, they want to go get the fancy high-rises and, you know, the real fancy condos and fancy townhomes. And even some of them get some fancy houses. And
especially in the South, they're like, I want some land.
I
want a big single family home in the nicest area. I'm like, well, you know, Williamson County, where Ramsey is, it's the like 11th wealthiest county in the nation.
Yes.
So the average home is going for like $800,000.
And it's not even a big home.
And they're very normal homes.
Exactly.
And so it's a tough time. And it's gotten crazier since we bought a house.
Because
our house, that townhome appreciated like crazy.
Did you sell it or you do?
We sold it and got a single family a few years back. And I think it sold for $529 3 years later.
Bought it for $3.
So the appreciation on that'll beat your freaking 401k. So I'm telling you, like, get in the game, even if it's not your forever home or whatever the crap. Get in the game, because that is another wealth hack.
Yes.
It's just buying a house when you're financially ready, even if it's not your dream home.
Oh, my God. So, George, you sold that townhome for $5, and I'm pretty sure y'all put some money with it, or did y'all put some money
in
a single home?
Exactly. So we had all of that equity, rolled 100% of the equity, it was paid off, into the next home on top of all the cash.
Wow.
We took on a real small mortgage, knocked that out in about a year.
Wow.
And then we moved on. And so it's been paid off now for a while. And now we've just been stacking up more cash and saving up for the next thing. And so once you get used to that muscle, you're like, well, we know we can live off of $5,000 a month.
Facts.
Our lifestyle hasn't changed.
Facts. That's
like,
good.
We have nicer stuff. We save up and buy a nice car. But overall, you know, we're not now like, well, we need a $10,000 lifestyle now. You know, like, even though we could.
Yes.
We just have bigger goals and just, we got no one to impress anymore. You know, I'm a dad.
You know.
Who am I trying to impress? I want to impress that baby. That's it.
You know what, George? You know you convicted me. I never told you this. Never told you this or anyone that's outside of, well, in Ramsey. I've said this on my show before. But one of the biggest regrets that I doing was buying my first home.
Mm.
When I saw you buy that townhome, and I was like, George is debt free. I know he making some money. And this dude went and bought a townhome. And then I moved out to Columbia, South
Carolina. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And bought all that land. and a big old beautiful home. And if you remember, right around the time you got that townhome, I sold my home.
Yeah.
And I went and bought me a townhome in Nashville because I was like, why do I have this much? Like, why am I? And it's just me. I don't have no wife.
Yeah.
I did have a dog, but I it was just me. And I was like, this is too much for me. And I could be a better steward with my money. And I went and got the townhome and then resigned and moved a year later after that. But it was like, I really want you to know, man, like your lifestyle and watching you is helping people.
I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, just being honest, it was like, man, I'm making good money. I'm debt free. I'm what? Like, man.
Yeah, you could afford it.
I'm like, yo.
It wasn't a question of money.
Right. But if I could do it over again, I would have got a $200,000 townhome for just me, paid that off. And I probably would have rented it, knowing me and my philosophy. But it was like, man, I really do appreciate you for practicing what you preach.
Thank you.
Because I watched you really live that lifestyle and where you are today and how you're really practicing what you preach. And this is why, y'all, I just really want y'all to really get this book, Breaking Free from Broke, and The Ultimate Guide to More Money and Less Stress, because I've watched George Camel. And I think, y'all, outside of Tiffany Budgetista, these two are the only money two people I've had on my show promoting their money books, because I've watched Tiffany and I've watched George do it. And I think we need better young examples of how to really be wealthy and really how to build that wealth. Because at 35, he is a net worth millionaire. He is a husband. He is a father. He is an influencer. He loves Jesus. And we need more examples like George really out here showing that way. Because, I mean, George, I don't know too many 35-year-olds who would have sold their house, put all that money on another house, and then put more money on top of that to stay debt free.
Yeah.
Right? They would have took.
I get made fun of. Like my financial advisor buddies, the financial creators out there, they're like, dude, you're such a, like, I can't believe you paid off that low interest mortgage. Like, you know what you could have done with that? I'm like, yeah, I could have lost more sleep thinking about the spread I could be making. And if the market's down, then my whole plan just failed. And I'm like, in the meantime, like, what we've been able to do because we've lived debt-free is way better than any wealth I'm going to build.
Yeah.
Like, my wife got to stay home this year and retire from a 9-year career at Ramsey to be home with our daughter. What? And it wasn't a financial decision. It was just an emotional one.
Why?
But not once did we say, how are we going to adjust this? Can we make this work in the budget? It just went, all right, if God's telling you to leave and you want to be with this baby, let's do this.
How does it feel as a father and as a husband to be able to, you and your wife, partnering together? She comes to you and says, babe, I think it's that time for me to stay home and raise our child. How does it feel to be like, okay. Like there's no stress there. That's not the average person in America.
Yeah.
And with the average person watching right now, right, they're saying, yeah, George, no, that's not me and my family. But I want to say this in front of George. He knows how I talk. It is what it is.
Can't George, scare me.
Yeah. George wasn't making like a whole lot of like $200,000-$300,000. Well, at least while I was at Ramsey. Now I'm pretty sure he's doing very well now in the personality position. But I watched this guy literally leave there, go work extra jobs, work his butt off, grind. I know his wife. She was grinding with him. And so to do what he's did back then, to be where he is now. How do you feel, George, as a father, looking at your child, saying, man, your future is going to be different? Daughter, you have a daughter or son?
Daughter. And Mia.
Your daughter's future is going to be 10 times better than yours.
Yeah.
Not future, but 10 times better than where she was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you was growing.
But my wife and I talk about it all the time. We're like, now the fear is, like, how do we not cause her to be entitled and spoiled because she's around all this wealth and luxury from a young age.
Yes.
And, you know, I hope I do a good job raising her in such a way that, you know, Rachel, one of the most humble, sweet people.
Listen.
Even though she grew up in a life of luxury.
Yes.
And so I don't think there's this connective tissue between, well, if you grow up with nice stuff, you're going to be a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it. I've seen Dave avoid that with how he raised the kids. He said, you got Ramsey in your last name. You're going to work twice as hard.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's the new challenge, but it is such a cool feeling going, Mia's never going to know debt. Like, college, it's just going to be like, okay, where do you want to go? Full ride. Okay, well, like your first car, you're going to save up, you're going to work hard, but you're never going into debt for anything. And so I love Dave's philosophy on that. If he knows the pain of debt, and he went, never again in the Ramsey family name are people going to have debt attached to it.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a really cool legacy on its own. And, you know, the conversation with Whitney around raising her and continuing to live debt-free, it's amazing what happens when you just, debt's off the table.
Yeah.
And you talked about that all the time. Yeah. We got to take debt off the table.
Got to.
And once you do that, it just becomes a identity for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not a flex. Yeah. I don't look down on those who are like, well, I do life a different way. I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you ever want to try something else, come see your boy, and I'll show you a different path.
Why do you think in our generation, and we're not in our generation, but just in today's society, debt is so accepted? You know, I have my thoughts, but I'm curious from you, George, like, why? You're on the calls every day with Dave and the team getting these calls. And I think that people want the financial freedom, but debt is so accepted in today's world. I went to Dubai. I bought a condo in Dubai. And man, debt is so frowned upon.
Oh, in other cultures, yeah. Yes. It's a truly American thing.
Which is, I'm like, wait, if everyone else hates debt, why do we love it? And they're free. And we're sitting here in bondage. But this is so cool. And I'm like, wait. I literally have talked to ladies. I literally have a question that I'm posting today on my social media at the time of us recording. As a guy sends me a message. Hey, man, I'm dating this young lady. You know what? Let's have some fun with George. We're going to let George answer this question.
I might jump in the comment section on this.
Here's a question. Hold on. Where's my phone? Oh, I'm about to
post it right now.
No. I haven't posted it yet. Okay. I got to post it on my social media.
What a tease.
We'll let George answer this one. Let me pull it up on my phone, y'all. George Camel is about to answer this one.
I'm nervous.
It's like, hey, yo. He says, I know you do not give relationship advice, which I don't because I'm still single. Hopefully married soon. But I would like to take on your advice on this one. I'm dating a lady. And while we're on the phone last night, she asked me about my credit score. This is literally, I'm reading it right now. I was honest and told her it's currently a 570 credit score. I further explained that it's because I paid off all my debt and collection items. And I'm following yours and Dave Ramsey's advice of living within my means and not borrowing any money. I also don't have any open credit cards or trade lines on my account. She said she can't be with a man whose credit is poor. How should I respond to this? I'm 28, debt-free, making $85,000 a year with $7,500 in my savings. I'm aiming for 3 months of net pay, like you said, and I should have that by the end of August.
Wow. Well, you know, I don't want to dog on her because it's just a lack of financial education, right? I'm not trying to get in trouble here with your audience.
Hey, man, I'm dogging it.
But here's the thing. I wrote a whole chapter. So the book starts with, you know, we're chained to the system.
Yeah.
And I explain how we're chained to the system. The second and third chapters are credit scores and credit cards.
Yes, sir.
I had to just come out the gate swinging, going, all right, let's get the cat out of the bag. Here's what the credit score is. Here's what it's not. Here's what it means. And so to this young man, I'm going, let's look at the actual budget.
Yeah.
How much margin does he actually have?
Facts.
That's what will matter in their marriage.
Facts.
Because when you're stressed out and broke in a marriage and you got, honey, like, we're going to be $100 short again this month.
Yeah.
I don't care what your freaking credit score is.
Come on, George.
If you don't have any margin in your life. And the truth is, I've rarely met people with high credit scores mm-hmm. that have a correlation to a lot of margin in their life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They tend to just be comfortable making their payments. And if I can just keep the payment here until life happens and something changes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're calling our show going, I was making great money, but now I'm not. But the payments didn't change because the lenders don't give a rip about what's going on in your personal life.
No, they don't.
They're there to collect.
Yeah.
And so I'm going, they need to go through, you know, read the book together and go, hey, would you listen to this audiobook? Let's go on a road trip. Let's listen to the book. Check out the Ramsey show. I think there needs to just be some re-education.
Absolutely.
And then if she's not coming around and she's like, don't give a rip about that. If you don't have a high credit score, I'm out. Well, then she's opted out
yeah.
of the relationship.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But that's a tough one because there's so much to unpack with you know, how she grew up and what she learned about money.
Yeah.
And so I think you got to seek to understand. Yeah. The old Ted Lasso quote, be curious, not judgmental.
Yeah.
It's easy to come out the gates and be like, well, you got to listen to Dave and he's... Nobody wants to hear that.
Nobody.
So just tread lightly, be gentle and go, I totally understand. I used to think the same exact way.
Yeah.
And then I read this thing or I watched this show and here's what I found out. Mm-hmm. The credit score exists to access more debt.
Yep.
I've chosen to live a life of debt freedom because I want margin and options and joy and all of this kind of life.
Yeah.
If she doesn't want that, then that's a great red flag was shown up early on. Let's opt out and go, let's part ways, clean break. Because that's the hardest thing is people get married hoping that one day they'll change the person.
Yep.
And that one day they'll come around and they don't.
Yeah. No,
and it just compounds the pain of the marriage.
You know what? That's why I like George Campbell. That's why he's on the show.
I'm like a secret boomer, man. I'm like, what has God done to me?
Yo.
I'm 68 years old and a 35-year-old tiny body.
What's going on, family? I am super excited to announce my new book, Take Your Seat at the Table, that is coming out January 14th and available for pre-sale today. But to celebrate, right, I'm hosting a free masterclass called The New Millionaires, where I'll teach you how to invest like a millionaire. Listen, did you know that 88% of millionaires are self-made? They didn't inherit their wealth. No rich parents gave them the money. They actually built it themselves. And check this out, you can too. In this masterclass, you'll learn proven strategies used by millionaires to grow their wealth. It doesn't matter where you're starting from, you can achieve financial freedom and build a legacy that lasts generations. I want you to sit back and close your eyes and imagine being a part of those 88% of self-made millionaires. In this class, you're going to learn how to make your money work for you, how to invest wisely, and how to secure your financial freedom. Listen, spots are limited, all right? And they're filling up fast. It's 100% free. And no, I am not selling you no $500, no $1,000 course at the end of this. So don't miss out on this amazing opportunity to change your financial future. I want you to register right now at millionaire.anthonyoneal.com. Again, that is millionaire.anthonyoneal.com. This is your chance to learn from someone who's been there, who's done that. I don't want you to wait. I want you to lock in your spot right now and start your journey to becoming a new millionaire. Let's get it. I'm super excited, and I'll see you in class. I think for me, you know, my thought process over the last, I'll say 3 or 4 years now have been, how can I build wealth? And as I've really been studying, you can't pass down a credit score. You can pass down wisdom, knowledge, human capital. You cannot pass down a 3-digit credit score. So even if you have an 800 credit score and you have access to borrow more capital, more money, you cannot pass that down. But what you can pass down is debt. You can pass down bondage. You can pass down, you know, stress. So for me, I'm gonna let George be on that lightly. I'm gonna let George comment when today, because I have some concerns about even a thought process of that young lady, you know, but I'm not a relationship expert, so.
But again, it's normal. And back to your question, why are we so obsessed with debt in America? I think it's because this truly is the greatest country, so modern, so advanced, so much blessing around us, that we're so comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't many years ago when these other countries were really struggling.
Yeah.
And so they know the pain. They know what it's like to owe someone else money.
Facts.
And in America, it's just like, well, we'll just file bankruptcy for the third time and clear it and move on. And so not only is it easily accessible, but it's also rewarded.
Yeah.
It's celebrated.
Yeah.
Like, you just see the car. No one's concerned about what the score was and what your payment is. They just go, bro, congrats. Oh, that's so dope. Yeah. Look at that house.
Yeah.
And no one's comparing bank accounts and going, do you have money? Are you
okay? Come on, George.
What's going on when you enter the door of your house? What's the feeling there versus when you're out and about trying to show off? And so I've just never been, I don't know, I've never impressed anyone. So I've never felt the need to keep up the impressing people.
And I want to go there too, George, because now that you are this net worth millionaire, you're making great money, wife is at home, you have access to more things than you did, let's say, 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Right? It blows my mind, the stuff we buy now and the checks I write. I'm like, oh my gosh, but it still hurts. I'm still frugal.
How do you and your wife still stay below your income? Like, what are some practical things you and your wife do at home? Because what I'm seeing when people come reach out to me, they're like, man, I made an extra 10 grand, so I'm going to go, you know, on a vacation. I'm going to go buy me a new car. I'm going to do this. It's like, as soon as we get money, it's spent before it's even touched our account.
Yes.
What do you and your wife practice from a practical standpoint when you do get that check? Because I know the Rams way. Like, when you write a book, you're going to get some more money. Right?
Yeah.
So what are some practical things that you do when you see more money come in to make sure that you are not touching that limit and you're continuing to practice what you're preaching?
I've found if we don't have a financial goal, we tend to get lazy. And so you tend to get sloppy when there's nothing to really aim the money at.
Yeah.
And that's where I love, we look at the budget every month. We do the
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every dollar budget,
yeah.
And for anyone watching, go to everydollar.com/George and get started for free.
Yeah.
But that really is the North Star for us.
Yeah.
And we know our expenses.
Yeah.
Down to the, you know, almost to the penny of, all right, we're going to spend $4,500 this month. Because remember, we don't have payments.
Wow. Yeah.
So let's say it's $4,500. That's probably round about what our, like, if we're living comfortably and just like, you know, we're eating out now and we're doing, we got doggy daycare and we got to get them to special dietary food, and Mia's got to have the organic guava passion fruit, you know, food that's, you know, no dyes in it, no corn syrups. And so Whitney's crunchy like that.
Okay.
Our dogs are bougie. And so we still have a comfortable lifestyle that costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's really not for us anymore.
Right.
It's for the dogs and the baby.
Baby.
And so anything beyond that now becomes surplus. Now that just becomes overflow and blessing. And so we go, all right, how much do we want to give this month? We got a bless up fund.
Okay.
Line item in the budget called bless up. That's spontaneous giving.
I love it.
That's just like, hey, I heard about this need. Just give to that.
Are you serious?
Like, we can look up now instead of looking in. And it's not a selfishness. It's not malicious when people do that.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to look up and out to opportunity when you're so stressed about your own situation.
Yeah.
So when you're not worried about your bills, you can worry about other people's bills.
Yeah. That's generosity.
And so that's a piece of it. The other piece is investing and saving. And so, like I said, we just love having a beautiful aesthetic home. Mm-hmm. So that's always been the goal, is just getting a nicer home just for us, not to impress anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my wife stays home now, so I want a beautiful work environment. This is her office, you know, where she's taking care of the babies and the dogs. And so that's where all the money's going, is just let's sock that away. High yield savings account.
Yeah.
And I know I got my spreadsheets in my yard. It's going to make 5.4%. So any surplus, let's say it's $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
And our expenses are five. Well, I know $5,000 is pre-decided. It's going to go toward our financial goal.
Come on.
So where people pre-decide to go spend it on a vacation or a car, we pre-decided for it to go toward the next financial goal.
Yeah.
One of those goals was upgrading my wife's car.
Okay.
And so that was the big purchase we did last year.
Okay.
The house was paid off.
Yeah.
We upgraded her car, and now she has a luxury SUV.
Wow.
Used still.
Wow.
And so now she loves that car. I upgraded my, Dave was making fun of my car. I had a Honda Civic 09, bumpers hanging off. And he's like, man, what are you doing out here? You work for Dave Ramsey. People are seeing you out here in your Dave car. You need to be in that Dave car.
Right, so the Dave car.
I waited till the townhome was paid off to even upgrade that car.
Yeah.
And so that's when I got the 2013 Tesla.
That's beautiful.
So I was a 9-year-old Tesla.
And that's what's in your shows right now.
Yeah,
your show.
And then I still have that. And I'm like, nothing's wrong with it. It ain't broke, don't fix it. And so I'm enjoying that. And, you know, so that's kind of how I just live my life, is I like to have a goal. Otherwise, I get sloppy and lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I need to get on the workout, the physical. You were always an inspiration to me.
I was.
Coming in with some new, like, powder at work that you're taking to get more jacked. I'm like, I'll stick to money.
Man, I failed on that one, man. I've lost a lot of weight only because, man, building a business, man, it is difficult. It is difficult. But I still work out now.
You look good.
Man, I'm trying to get there. I slimmed down. I need to get this slim back down. But I do miss working out.
Just wait till you're a dad, and then I got the dad bod now. I'm the heaviest I've ever been, which is,
but
I know.
You're married and you're a father.
Yeah. I got no one to impress.
Zero. No, you do. You got your wife.
She's not impressed. She hasn't been impressed. 2019 was the last time I had some riz, and I've lost that. You know, it's all dad jokes.
Yo, I love it. I want to talk about the goals, George, because I think people fail. This is quote, if you aim at nothing, you hit that every time. But if you have a target, yeah, and you miss a target, at least you hit something. And I think sometimes a lot of people are not, they don't have a goal. And that's one of the main reasons why they're frustrated, because they don't know where they're going. You said that you and your wife have a clear goal. So I'm curious, do you all set like long-term goals and then work your way back to like a 5-year, 3-year, 1-year, 1-month goal? How do you and your wife sit down as a couple and really set some target goals? Because what I'm, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I hear you saying is, Anthony, we know we want this. We want a house. We know we wanted a car. We know we want to start saving for our daughter. We know we want to start investing into this. We know we want to do bless up and be generous. So those things, that's the vision for the family. How do you set those? And let's just say, for an example, this person is still in debt. Should they still have goals? If it's like, wait, I can't go do that because I'm still eliminating my debt. So how do goals pivot and change depending on the season that you and your wife are in?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think there's two things at play. One is a vision.
Yep.
And one is goals. Goals feel like, hey, this is like a 3-month, 6-month, 1 year, 2 year. Those are goals to me.
Yes, sir.
Vision is like, that's the bigger picture. Here's where we're going.
Yeah.
I think people have a lack of both. And the other piece they're missing is a lack of education.
That's good.
So they want to do it, but they don't know how. They don't know how to invest.
Right.
It's all confusing. They're hearing, you know, about crypto and should I do the single stock and should I download this app that's going to help me, you know, get the right trade at the right time.
Yeah.
And it's just overwhelming. And that's why I wrote a whole chapter in the book about investment traps to go, here's all the wrong ways to do it. And here's the right way to do it. And it's a lot slower and it's a lot less sexy.
Yeah.
And it's the way that I personally do it. So I don't say anything in the book that I don't personally do.
Right.
So people go, well, you mean you really don't have any crypto? I'm like, no.
No.
You don't have a single credit card? No. You don't have a credit score? No. I'm like, why would I need one?
Right.
Why do I need crypto? I got the stock market. I got my 401k.
Right.
I got a Roth. So all these things help me figure out what those goals are. And you're right, there's a lot to balance.
There is.
I had a daughter. First thing I did, open up that 529 plan.
Yes, sir.
And start funding that. All right, we got that. You know, kind of, you start to have the rhythms. And so we're going to fund this once a year. All the gifts, we're not going to get her crap and toys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send them a QR code to scan.
Come on, man.
At the 1 year birthday party to go,
come on.
We don't need more crap. Thank you, though.
Yes.
Here's a link to the 529 if you want to support her future.
Yes.
And I'm like, because every dollar they give, that's going to turn into $20 one day.
Oh, George, you're talking now.
Versus a dollar gift into a toy that we give to Goodwill.
Come on, man.
3 weeks later.
Facts.
And so that's where I just think that way. I don't know, everyone's wired to be that nerdy.
Yeah.
But I think about what things could be, the opportunity cost.
Mm.
And so I'm not concerned about wealth. I know that over time, the 401k will grow to multi-millions. And,
yep.
And so that's why I'm more concerned about the now.
Yeah.
I want to get the house paid off now in the meantime.
Yeah.
Because sure, I can make a spread and I could do better investing in the market maybe with instead of paying down the mortgage. But I want to have no mortgage payment for the next 30 years so that we can go on trips and not stress. So we have more to give. And so I'm like, and by the way, I'm investing the whole time. People think you got to choose one or the other. And so all of that boggles my mind, truthfully. But it's what is the upcoming goal for the, you usually have like a yearly goal of what's the thing coming up?
Yes, sir.
So either that's let's upgrade the house, let's upgrade the car.
Yep.
There's those big ones and there's the little things. Let's make sure we go on a fun vacation this year.
Yeah.
Let's pre-decide on these things as a family.
Yeah.
And so that's where a dream date comes in. If your spouse or whoever's in your life doesn't want to do a budget, call it a dream date and just start dreaming. And then part of that dream is we have to reverse engineer the dream on paper.
Come on, man.
To go, what is it going to take to get there?
Yeah.
Because it's not just going to materialize 6 months from now just because we wished it into existence. And so that's where the money comes into play. And you go, okay, if I put away $3,000 every month in a high yield savings account making 5% for 12 months, I will have $40,000.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah. But you have to have the discipline to go, I'm going to auto transfer that money every month. I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist. That's the hard part, is you got to deal with the toddler inside of you to go like, that. He's not going to get a say. Because what he wants to do is go, that could buy a new wardrobe
for
old AO over here.
That's facts.
And so that's a hard part to grapple with. And I think people see the Ramsey plan and they go, well, they want you to live frugally forever. No, if you've met Dave Ramsey, he has some nice things and he's not scared to spend money.
Man, I be wanting to tell people what Dave Ramsey have so bad, but I got to shut up. That's none of my business to tell people. But I'm like, You say you're driving a Dave Ramsey car. You're not driving a Dave Ramsey car. Yeah.
You're but driving a Baby Step 2 car.
Right, you know what I'm saying? I get the concept, but it's like, Dave Ramsey doesn't want you eating pinto, eating beans and rice for the rest of your life, but he does want you eating beans and rice until you get to the point to where you can get some sausage and then you can get a steak.
Yeah.
You can grow up, but it's like,
delayed gratification. You got to pay a price to win. And most people, this is the American way that I talk about in the book, it's instant gratification.
Yes.
It's microwave versus crock pot.
Yeah.
It's the hare versus the tortoise. I mean, this is the the classics where you go, there is a clear way to do this without stress, or I could try to do it faster at my own peril. Mm. And people always underestimate the risk, and they always overestimate the reward. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the problems. The risk meter is broken.
Yeah.
Because they saw a video on social media, it was a 60-second video, and some lady said to go buy a bunch of real estate to fund your kids' college, and there's some sneaky tax loophole that you all need to do. I'm like, some of those are legit.
Yeah.
Some of them are half-truths.
Yeah.
But there's a simpler way to do it.
Yeah.
That you'll win every time. And that's, I'm not smart enough to play that game over here.
Right.
I'm smart enough to just do one thing consistently.
Yeah.
And so you look at my portfolio of my net worth, it's house and 401k.
Wow.
And two cars.
And two cars.
That's it.
Simple.
It's simple.
But in this world, we want to have 15 different things. I got crypto, I got Bitcoin, I got real estate, I got this business, I have a little bit of stocks, I have this day trading, I have this, I have that, I have that. And you're like, wait, and
it's a stressful life.
For real, and I'm just being honest, I'm trying to say this respectfully, I know those people and their net worth is not yours.
Mm.
They have a lot of things going, but they're so spread thin that they have money going out and they don't have money coming in, and their money is not really working for you. And it's like, when I look at what you've done, and you heck what I'm doing now, I'm super thin like yourself. I'm just in real estate, mine's a little bit SEP, and then some stocks, as far as in the mutual funds and stuff like that. But really, and also my business, so I have four. So that's really building my net worth. But it's like, George, I'm curious, with you saying, okay, house, real estate, 401k, you are a net worth millionaire starting from ground up. I say this respectfully because I know my people will look at this and be like, well, yeah, his mom and daddy probably, his mom and daddy didn't leave him nothing. So we're going to put that out, okay? And then I got to say it, George doesn't know me. Just because he's white doesn't mean nothing either, all right?
I've watched and if you want to know the truth, I'm Middle Eastern. You know, my dad's from Egypt.
That is right.
My dad was born in Cairo, Egypt, in Africa. My mom was born in Damascus, Syria, in Asia. So, you know, you want to come at me for being another. Like, I got culture a little bit. I speak Arabic. You know what I mean? Like, my pigmentation didn't quite hit.
Right.
You know, I got the Syrian fair skin side.
Right.
So I'm like the albino Middle Eastern in the room, but... I think that culture helped me learn frugality, and I have a lot to owe to my parents because we didn't have a lot.
Yeah.
I thought we had more than we did because my parents didn't seem all that stressed and didn't have crazy money fights.
Yeah.
But it's because of their frugality,
yes,
not because of their amazing six-figure incomes.
Yeah.
I didn't hit a six-figure income until I married Whitney and we combined finances. And so people think like, well, yeah, but he must be... I haven't been making great money until, you know, what was that? I've been Ramsey 11 years.
Yeah.
And 7 or 8 of those, I was marketing and social media guy and email marketing guy and host. And so, like, I want people to know that your income is a part of it.
Right.
But people always comment in my comment section on YouTube and go, yeah, but how much do you make? And here's what they really want to say. I want to opt out of this and justify why I can't do it.
Absolutely.
That's what they're really saying. Because I don't take it to heart that they want to be nosy.
Absolutely.
What they're saying is, well, I don't make $100,000, so this plan can't work for me.
Man.
It worked for me at $40,000, and it worked for me at $50,000, and it'll work for me at $600,000 one day.
Man.
And so I just hope that encourages people that this book is not for a certain type of person or income.
Right. No, it's not. And that's why I kept stressing the fact that I never knew your exact dollar amount, but because I worked there, I knew where the ballpark of where you were, and I saw you put in the work, right? And I think—
Yeah, my work ethic has not changed.
No, you see this?
There's no
way in the world I could write this. Not this many pages.
It was a lot of pages.
Yeah.
Now, good.
While working.
Don't worry, it's fun. It's like half of it's just jokes, you know? Half of it's actual helpful financial advice.
Yo, listen, I mean, this is the modern total money makeover. Like, When I saw this book, I was like, George, you went to writing on this book. And y'all, I was gonna call it out. To write this kind of book and still be a Ramsey personality, that is hard work. You still gotta show up and do the shows. You still gotta show up and really the main process of a personality is read, write, and deliver life-changing content on top of writing books, on top of going to meetings and showing up and continuing to serve the Ramsey vision. And so I was like, man, to write this level of a book, George, man, I take my hats off to you, bro.
Thank you. Well, you know, I launched a YouTube channel, what was it, April last year.
Kill it.
And, you know, the content machine, it doesn't just stop because you want to go write a book.
Right.
The team's still like, you got to pump out 3 episodes of that. You got Smart Money Happy Hour over here. That's an episode a week. You got Ramsey Show 6 times this month you're hosting. You got that live event you're speaking for. You know, the schedule it's very demanding. Now, I still have a life balance because Dave's like, get out of here. It's 5 o'clock. If you don't have to be there, don't be there.
Right.
But it was a lot to, like, truthfully, it's stress-wise. I don't recommend writing a book unless you really feel called.
And you was writing this book, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, while your wife was even pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
While your daughter was born.
I hit submit. Bro, we were in the hospital. She had the epidural. She was in the bed, and I hit final submit on my laptop for the book. And 10 minutes later, Mia was born. It was the craziest thing.
Wow.
So, a lot was delivered that day. To say the least. So it was a crazy time, but I hope that, I'm like, the generational impact that this book I hope has was worth it. Was worth the blood, sweat, and tears.
You will.
So that one person, I get the DM still of like, bro, I just read your book. I just cut up my credit card.
Wow.
I've had it for 20 years. I finally cut it up. I don't care about the credit score anymore. Thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you for, I'm going to be the first millionaire in my family.
Wow.
That's what makes it worth it.
George, I'm curious as we're ending this show, and I didn't ask you none of the questions that's on the sheet of paper.
That's fine. I knew we would.
Brothers, yeah, we just talked.
We don't need the questions.
Now at 35, when you wake up on the first of the month when a lot of people are stressed about their bills, mortgage, rent, credit card bills, student loan bills, first of the month is when people dread going to the mailbox. I walked to the mailbox the other day, and I literally stood at the mailbox and I smiled. And I was like, man, this feels good to know that I do not have any stress in that mailbox. Went to Italy for my birthday and it feels good. Like you said, to where I've been budgeting and saving for this since last year, right? And it feels good to be able to do this. And I stress this to my team here all the time, like, man, financial freedom, it just feels great. How do you feel on the first of the month? How do you and your wife feel when y'all make a purchase and you're not concerned that, wait, it's gonna take us 3 months, 5 months, 12 months outside of maybe of a small mortgage to pay this off? Like, how do you feel moving forward debt-free? Because the argument is I can make more money if I leverage other people's money. But then I'm like, what stress comes with that? Then the argument is, well, you move slower over here because you're using all of your money. But I ask the same question. But what stress comes with that? How do you feel having freedom and not having any bondage for you, your wife, your family? I'm pretty sure y'all have more kids down the road. Like, man, you're investing until the 529. Your child is just turned. She's going to be turning 1 here within the next few days. So this means compound interest is going to be helping you all out. She'll be able to go to any college she wants to go to. When she gets married, her mom and dad will be able to help her out with her marriage because of your financial freedom. First house, y'all may be able to help her and sow into that. How do you and your wife ever talk about that? And like, wow, we are free to do really whatever we want.
Mm. You know, I should probably do it more, to be honest. Because, you know, with people who are driven, who have that financial goal, it's hard to stop and just be grateful.
Yeah.
So while I'm grateful on the outside, I feel like my actions sometimes go, I'm like, what's the next? Okay, that's great. What's the next thing? All right, we're going to upgrade this. And so I have to intentionally cause myself to slow down and go, babe, isn't this crazy?
Wow.
Like, and we had that moment with the house where we just went, this isn't, like, people dream of this day. And we now make these decisions and purchases that would have blown our minds 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those, like, it's hard to take credit because you're kind of like, well, look at God for where he's brought me.
Yeah.
I was the same knucklehead 10 years ago, but God led me to the right education, to the right vision, to the right goals, to the right spouse, to the right career and team, to where it's hard to really think I'm really something. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I show up and I just work my tail off to make sure that I'm honoring all of the blessings in my life. Mm-hmm. That's my job, is to be faithful in that. But everything else, it's, you know, I hate calling it luck because I think that diminishes the power of God's blessing in your life. We're like, I just got lucky. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I work my tail off and God honored that faithfulness.
Yes.
And so I think I need to do a better job of realizing that on a more daily basis, of, you know, just praying and being grateful. But I think when it comes to debt freedom, the way I feel and how I feel on the first of the month was the original question. Like, what does that feel like? It opens up your brain space for more creativity, to be more present at home, to be more present on, hey, what kind of content am I going to create this month? And how can we bring this idea in a new way that, you know, it connects with people? And I wouldn't be able to do that if I had the financial stress.
Wow.
So I'm not debt-free to be a flex, to be like, I work for Dave, so I'm going to be debt-free.
Yeah.
I want to be debt-free because life is too short for all that to live rent-free up here.
Facts.
I want to just be free-free.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the whole Ramsey plan people forget about. It can't just be represented as math equations.
Yeah.
You've got to represent the soul, the physical toil that debt takes on you. And we always tell people, you've heard us say this, pay off the debt, and if you hate it, you can always, I promise you, there'll be an offer in the mail tomorrow. Capital One is going to bless you with a $200 offer if you do what they say.
You got that right.
And I'm like, I don't got any chains. I don't have a leash.
Yeah.
No one's going to tell me how to live my life. And if something happens, God forbid, with our family, with my career, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I got my term life insurance in place. I'm investing for the future.
Yeah.
And so I just want to be as present as I can. And I think having a daughter changed that for me. Because I realized how I was not present.
Wow.
I was just on my phone and my wife is like, your daughter is trying to look you in. She doesn't even know what this world is and she's desperate for your attention.
Wow.
And I'm like, how many parents out there, well-meaning, are stressed out with bills, so focused on trying to keep up the chaos of their life that they can't be present.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think debt freedom gives you, is it gives you that ability to be present and to make different decisions.
Yeah. Do you believe that debt freedom, when people pay off their debt, they're wealthy?
I think it depends on the definition of wealth.
There you go.
Some people are miserable regardless if they have debt or not.
Facts.
You know? So I don't think debt freedom doesn't change you.
Right.
It doesn't change who you are. Mm-hmm. I think debt can change who you are. It can change your physiology.
Yes, sir.
But debt freedom, well, if you were a big jerk and you paid off your debt, you're still going to be a big jerk. You know, you got more money now to be a jerk with. And so we always say that money magnifies.
Yes, sir.
But I do think that debt freedom gives you more opportunity and it opens you up. And when I told you, like, we're in a land of blessing. If you look at America and the stock market and the economy, sure, there's headlines and there's dips and crashes. But overall, we are in a land of such abundance that we have forgotten how difficult things could be and can be.
Mm.
And we're so quick to forget. I mean, you remember COVID, everyone's freaking out. And as soon as things get back to normal, we're like, I gotta get a car loan again.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing I got some free money from the government, saved up a little bit. Now I'm gonna, you know, wipe all that away in spending. And so we're just a culture that easily forgets. And this is biblical. Every generation since Bible times so easily forgets the blessing.
Yeah.
And so that's the something I try to remember every day is like, I don't wanna be paranoid and like it all could come crashing down, but I also don't wanna be so flippant that I get too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about, you know, the kill zone and the comfort zone. I love that talk from you on it's stuck with me.
Yeah.
And I think that comfort zone, Michael Easter, The Comfort Crisis, his book, I really think that part of this debt crisis that we're in is due to how comfortable we are.
Super comfortable.
And that has caused the housing market to go crazy and consumer spending is still crazy high and the Fed's trying to manage it.
Yep.
I'm like, that's on you, America.
Yeah.
They're doing their best and y'all are out here just still spending because we'll just go further into debt for it.
Yeah.
And then the calls on the Ramsey Show, Anthony, have gotten worse.
They have.
It's gone to the point where I truly feel like I can't help them. They don't want the advice. They're in crazy crisis situations. Their debt to income ratios are out astronomical. And it makes sense. Housing market got crazy. Well, they took on that big mortgage anyways, and it's 65% of their take-home pay. The car market got crazy. Well, they make 40 grand and they bought a $65,000 car on a loan. Oh, and by the way, they rolled negative equity, and so now they're super underwater on the car to where they can't even sell it. And all of this compounds. And so you can see how we've gotten to this crisis point to where I'm like, this book, I hope I wrote it for a time such as this, where we go, you're right, this is crazy. And sometimes the guy who looks the craziest is the one going the other direction. Mm. And so that's what I hope, that countercultural message that has been Ramsey for so long, yeah. I think it's time for that revolution. I think we need to swing back.
Yeah, we do, we do. I tell this to everyone every day, not every day, but oftentimes on my show, that I would not be the man I am today financially without Financial Peace University and without the 7 baby steps. People ask me all the time, do they work? They work for me. I mean, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you it doesn't work, because it worked for me. And I come from an amazing family, an amazing upbringing. Have I made all the right decisions in life? Heck no, I have not. But when it comes to my money, the foundation that I stand on are the 7 baby steps from Financial Peace University and everything that you all offer. And we're definitely going to be using, because I still use every dollar. So we're definitely going to put everydollar.com/GeorgeCamo inside of the show notes. Are y'all still offering Ramsey Plus?
Yeah, you can still do the bundles and Financial Peace University with that. And even if you buy the book Breaking Free from Broke, we put a QR code in there where you can get every dollar for 3 months premium on us. So that was my gift to the readers of just going, I want you to live this out. You know it takes 90 days to get that budget dialed in.
Facts.
I want to give you your best shot at winning on this plan. So there's a ton of resources in the book. Even the audiobook, we sent them to a website, which the audiobook, we did some fun stuff.
Wow.
You started doing this at Ramsey, and I feel like I carried the baton. Wow. So thank you for helping break the mold and go, let's try some fun things. Like, we got to bring humor and levity and punchiness and snark and all of these things to the brand to keep it going.
And you're doing it, man.
I hope I've made my attempt at that with this book and the audiobook and the ebook. So
you're doing it. I read the audiobook. You even have you're different. Not read. I've listened to the audiobook a little bit, and you bring in some creative.
Oh, I wrote music for it. There's sound effects that are hopefully tasteful, and
I'm sitting here like, okay, George, like, man.
My theory is, if I'm bored, everyone else is bored.
Absolutely.
So if I'm not having a good time, what's the point of any of this?
Yeah.
So that's how I live my life. I'm trying to bring that humor element. I'm working on some stand up right now.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
For money?
For money. At Ramsey.
At Ramsey.
Our BHAG is like, I want Netflix special where you just watch it and accidentally you go, I got to get my money right. That's just that. Just that.
Yo, just make sure I get an invite for that.
You okay.
I want to be on the front row for that one.
Well, you're hilarious. So I think you should open, maybe close.
No, definitely closing, not behind you.
Okay.
No, I definitely ain't doing that. I've learned but that, man.
We got big goals.
Man, I love it, man. Before we go, I always like to do this. When I had John on the show, I always like to do this. What is one thing working with Ramsey that has changed either your life or just gave you a different perspective on life that you would think the average person in America won't know because they're not inside?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Working close with Dave, being close with the family. You get to see him a lot more than me, but we've had the opportunity to know Dave from a personal level.
Yeah.
Right? And that the world doesn't get to see. They just see him on the show, probably yelling at somebody, you know, but helping him out while he's yelling at him. But what is something that you've learned from his family at Ramsey Solutions that the world should know about him?
Mm. The word that comes to mind with Dave is integrity. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really understand that word when I started working there. I was 23. I'm still learning what that word really means.
Yeah.
But behind closed doors, Dave, the number one filter he uses is integrity, because integrity equals trust. And when you lose trust, nothing matters anymore.
Right.
In a marriage, in a relationship, in a business, with your products, with your audience, your consumers, integrity and trust is everything. And so I think living out the principles, number one, I just believe in them. Mm-hmm. But number two, you're never going to see me at the grocery store swiping a credit card. Because my integrity, my reputation, what I stand for, the people I represent, not just Dave, but also the entire community, they're going to go, oh, see, he doesn't believe any of that crap.
Wow.
And so I think integrity is the number one thing I've learned from Dave, from Ramsey. And that stems from You know your mission.
Yep.
You know your principles. You know your values. It's never going to change. Yep. The way you do things might change, the process, but when you know who you are and what you stand for, nothing can stop you.
Yeah.
And it's why Dave is 60 freaking three. He could have retired 20 years ago.
Could've.
And the man still shows up and does 3 hours of radio talking to fans every day. And so I have a lot of respect for his work ethic, his integrity, and the way he handles and carries out his business. So I hope to carry that torch, you know, for the next several years. Mm-hmm. To try to keep this brand going, keep the message going. Because I think the message is only getting more important as time goes on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
People are desperate for something different, for something new.
Absolutely.
And I think this countercultural message is now, we're hitting a new tide.
No.
And I'm excited to be on the, you know, surfing the wave of that tide.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I tell everyone, they always ask me, what is one thing you loved about Ramsey, loved about Dave while you was at Ramsey? And I said, man, there are so many things I could say about Dave, but I remember when I resigned, that was right around the time that we released that special episode of the student loans. And I came back to watch the reveal with the
team. Oh, that's right. That was fun.
And he brought up the people that was inside the show. And I watched Dave literally give away about $300,000 to help them become debt free from their student loans. And I told them, while that wasn't my first time watching Dave be generous with his money, I think that one stuck with me because I've seen him just be generous. And within my culture, we're not a generous culture. Mm. It's once we make the money, we want to keep it for ourselves and go buy nice things and show it off a little bit. We're not really a generous and supportive and helping people who we don't know, who we'll never see again. And we've taken that here with our company to where we give away 12% every single year of our.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, man, and it's because of Dave. Is I just watched him buy people's debt, and then he had us all calling him and.
Oh, that's right. Hey, we bought like that book of debt that was worth $10 million for we didn't pay $10 million, but
we bought the debt.
We bought the debt,
and we paid off. And what we like our.
Yeah, like I had something to do with it.
I'm spending Dave's money.
We just made the phone call. We said, hey,
exactly. And I just remember, I never got anybody on the phone, but I just remember hearing the stories while we were there and people were just crying and just celebrating. And I'm like, man, those are the things that didn't go viral. Those are the things that people didn't hear about this man, how he has literally helped change family trees. And it's not just Dave, it's that company, because Dave couldn't do it without the team. And I really do love that. So man, yeah. From my heart,
that's
former
beautiful.
Ramsey personality, thank you. And thank all of you personalities and Dave as well, and that amazing team for what you all are doing, you know, because it is needed. I stand on some great shoulders and a great foundation from Ramsey Solutions to where I know I would not be as high as I am today without Dave and without that amazing team, man. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Well, we miss you around there, and you're a legend. And so I'm proud for all your success. And in the spirit of generosity, I brought an extra book for you to give away to someone in the audience.
For real.
So I signed it.
Yo.
So we'll make sure to get that to someone. I don't know.
I didn't even get a signed book from George.
Yours is unsigned. You'll never get it.
Yo,
but
man.
I just hope it helps someone out, you know.
Yes. We're going to do it. So we're going to give away this book. And
only if they're actually following the plan.
Listen.
If you're committed, you're going, I like what he's saying. I want debt freedom. I want to build this wealth. Sign me up.
Listen, let's do it, you guys. So just listen, drop the best comment. What is the best thing you enjoy about the show? And tell me, why do you want financial freedom badly? Like, what is the real reason? Drop it in the comments. If you're listening to this on a podcast, you can either shoot me an email. You all know my email, anthony@anthonyoneal.com, or come over to YouTube, drop a comment, and Michelle will pick the best one, and she'll get you this book in the mail, signed by the one and only George Campbell. And it's a beautiful book, y'all. And so
it's bright. You.
And what I'll do is too, I'll match y'all. He'll give you the book. I'm gonna give y'all the audio version so y'all can hear a little bit of the music. I think that'd be a great as well. So that way, because you know what I do now when I read books? I still hate reading. But what I do is I buy the audio and I listen to the audio while I'm reading.
Yes. So I do the same thing. I thought I was going crazy. I'm not the only one doing this.
I think
it's because my ADD. Like, I need to be fed it in my ear while staring at the visual.
And I feel as if I'm reading through it quicker.
Yes.
You know, and so I have to do that. And so
I wrote it conversationally. So it feels like just I'm talking to you, not talking at you. Just we're hanging out and I'm trying to distill it down.
Beautiful. Damon John gave him a nice little.
Thank you, Damon. Appreciate you.
Damon John.
Yeah, it was very kind, all the endorsements. I mean, Dave's got a lot of friends and they're
Greg Rochelle.
Kind enough.
Oh, Les Parrott. Man, I haven't heard
from you know, Les Parrott and Graham Stephan and Mike Rowe and the Minimalists.
Yes. Man.
We couldn't get you.
Hey, John Maxwell.
Went to junk.
Hey, man. No, man. We're good. Yo, listen. It's been a great show. We're way over our time. Woo. But when you get a former brother, not former, a brother in the building who used to work together for so long, man, I couldn't rush this show because it's a much-needed conversation. Check him out. We're going to link all of his information in today's show notes. Please go out there. Check out his show. It's booming. I mean, it is just doing some great conversations over there with amazing people, and they're real, and he's giving you practical things to do. So go check out my dear brother, George Campbell, and we'll see you on the next show. Peace out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.